Well, hello everybody and welcome to your weekly astrological weather. My name is Amanda Poole Walsh. I'm the founder of Astrology Hub and I am here with predictive astrologer Ann Ortley, your favorite weather woman. And this is the place where you can come to get practical guidance for not only navigating, but thriving with the cosmic tides. And we are so very happy that you're here. Happy New Year to everybody. This is kind of, I was saying happy fake New Year because to me, it's not really like once we start tracking nature's rhythms and everything, it's like, okay, fine. It's sort of like an arbitrary New Year for like tax purposes, but that's okay. It's a collective restart, right? And we're on a different calendar year. So I'll play along with it.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I said it with a smile, so it was okay. Happy fake New Year. All right. So Anne, let's talk about the scale. I've noticed that there seems to be like a shifting of energy happening. And there was a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a lull, but like a little quiet-ish, comparatively, I guess. And things seem to be ramping up again. So I'd love to get your assessment of the week, scale of 1 to 10.
It's one of those weeks where it can be 3 to 20.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Depending on you. Right. So
okay.
Depending on where you are on this journey. So what happened for the three people, it's about how you hook in and how you engage. So it's, you're going to either watch it, you're going to figure it out. Everything in the sky, except for Mars and Aries. And on Wednesday, Mars goes into Taurus and then he's going to be in Taurus. Everything in the sky is answering to Saturn, except for Mars right now, but on 5:30 East Coast time, he goes into Taurus on Wednesday. And then he's answering to Saturn too. So the whole sky, which is rare, is answering to Saturn. And what that means is when we talk about rulerships, like Venus in Libra is in her rulership. When she's in Libra, she doesn't have to ask any questions. She just knows what she wants. So Mars is in Aries. So he's in his rulership. He doesn't have to ask anybody what he wants. But when he goes into Taurus, he has to ask Venus, who has to ask Jupiter, who has to ask Saturn, and then Saturn asks himself. So they have to go through a process. So you know how like there's parts of your planets that you can just make decisions with right away. You're like, boom, boom, I got it. And then when you have it in another sign that doesn't have it in its rulership, you have to go through a dialogue because there's a story that has to be worked out around stuff. So your Venus Saturn, because your Venus answers to Saturn, is very clear what it wants. Your moon in Gemini answers to Mercury, whoever Mercury answers to, you have to go through a whole process with your moon when your moon is making decisions, right? So we're going to look at the sky right now. Everything is answering to Saturn in Aquarius, which is one of his favorite places. And he's saying, big picture, baby, big picture. What's the big picture? I took you through hell for the last 2.5 years, restructuring your life, the last year particularly. But now what's your big picture? And so he's an air sign, he's lighter, he's talking as much as Saturn talks. And Mercury is a little bit out of bounds, so communications can be a little wild, he comes back in bounds this week, but he's in Capricorn answering to Saturn. So when we do rulerships, that's how when people say, well, how can everybody be the same 12 things? Well, they're not, because all the planets either are in their own sign and they're happy and they don't have any talk to anybody to make a decision. Or they have to go and say, well, let me just check. And they have to go through the little story until they get to the decision maker. So right now, the decision maker in everybody's chart is Saturn, which is consequences of actions and behaviors, right? And it's air, it's audio, So I'm not going to do politics per se, but we just had an audio released, right, in Aquarius, in air. So we're all going to be asked to watch our words, be aware of our words, especially if they're out of bounds. Mercury comes in this week. Mars shifts the evening of the sixth into Taurus, where he's going to be through March, the beginning of March, 2 months in there. But as of January 2nd, we wrapped up the Mars retrograde. He went past his shadow point, and now he's in fresh territory. So he has taken action by himself for 3 days, and then he gets straddled down by Saturn, saying consequences of actions, baby. So it's a very interesting week. So it's going to be like, if you've been doing your work and you're clear about your policies, your procedures, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, Saturn's going to be your friend. if you haven't done that, you know, he's like, well, clean it up quick, because like, I'm in charge now. So mm-hmm. being aware of your responsibility to the community, the collective, wherever you have Aquarius in your chart, very important, because you're going to be asked to take action based on what is your vision of the structure you're going to keep. And we were talking back in January 20th, when the ingress happened, Saturn and Jupiter met up and they said, hey, baby, you know, you're making decisions. And I was saying in my podcast that this is a really big New Year's, because the moon's in Leo, answering to the sun in Capricorn, answering to Saturn, Mercury's in Capricorn. New Year's resolutions made are really going to happen. So that's good. But it also is, we have to be conscious of what we're doing now. There's more responsibility for the act, for our behavior, our actions, how we do it. So if you've been doing your work and being, you know, doing your Saturn and really trying hard, he, you know, he never says good job. He just nods at you. Okay, kid, you know, but you know what your job is. So, you know, he's like, he's the grumpy boss, you know, but he's paying attention. And so for people that need to kind of push through to a new level, this is your universe saying to you, okay, now what? And so for some people, it's going to be fun. For other people, they might have some work they have to do, or there's some responsibilities that they have to take on some level, if that makes sense.
Well, so, and what you're saying is that it's sort of a now what?
Yeah.
And the things that are coming up, it sounds like they are probably more in alignment with your big picture, or like your long game. Mm-hmm. So the things that maybe are coming up that might be uncomfortable, or maybe things that you still need to clean up. Mm-hmm. It sounds from what you're saying that those are big picture things.
Yes.
Meaning that it's with the big picture in mind that you must, or it's with the big picture in mind that it's time to finally blank, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Take that step. And again, remember, we're finishing up the 20-year cycle from May of 2000, which was earth, physical stuff. Now we're going into air. Now we're going into belief systems, our ideas, our concepts, what we find our truths in, what our hopes and dreams are. So it's working towards your hopes and dreams, because the Aquarius house always describes your hopes and dreams, whatever house is ruled by Aquarius. So in my case, it's my 12th house and my first house. So earlier this morning, I was having a lesson with one of my students, and I was talking to her about my GASPA, which is this thing I do every year, like my plan for the year. And it includes my goals, objectives, activities, goals, objectives, strategies, plans, and activities. And I, you know, my goal is that I'm going to be an astrologer, but I'm going to incorporate 12th house, my spiritual path, as part of my goal to be an astrologer. You know, like I'm going to talk to people about their spiritual paths, their souls, now maybe through the mundane thing of whether you're getting a divorce or not, but where you are in your turning point of the astrology chart. And so for me, it incorporates myself physically, but it also incorporates my 12th. And part of my New Year's resolution was, I need to meditate more. I need to pray more. I need to really go into that space. You know, I have to make time for it rather than just hopping on the phone and doing readings. Okay, build it into your schedule, right? So, you know, it's really an understanding of, because the world's a little wild, and my position with astrology is it's a sacred arc, and you have to use it as a sacred arc. And if you use it for evil, not a good idea, because it's got a karma kickback. And I, of course, have Saturn and Scorpio in the eighth house, so I know I've got a past life where I maybe wasn't so good with it, you know.
You're extra careful this time.
Extra careful this time around. Doesn't mean I don't help people that get into trouble with it, but I also go, I'm not going there, you know.
Well, and
so, yeah, so it's understanding. There's Remo's leaving us. Bye, Remo. Yeah, so it's understanding that. You know, like for me to work better in this next chapter, this conjunction's in my 12th house. It's saying, and you've been doing the Taurus version. Now you got to do the Aquarian in the 12th. You have to do the spiritual version this next 20 years.
And it seems, just from my observation of you and what I know about us working together, like it seems that the echo of this started in 2020, like the beginnings, the whisper of it, because can I share what we've added to our process? Okay. Before we go, and when we started the podcast together, we did this, and then we took a break from doing it. And then and brought it back in, and we've been doing it again. But before we go,
I brought it back in on the Mars retrograde.
Yes, exactly. Before we, and we had a few situations where it was clear that something like this was called for, like we needed to up our game to get spiritually together. So before we go live now, we do a grounding and we just really anchor the space and anchor the energy or the vibration that we want to share with all of you. And that for me personally has shifted everything. But so what I'm saying is that the whispers of this were already coming in for you. And now, and would you say that's probably true for most people? Like whatever the next phases has been seeping in.
Showed up between April 4th and June 30th, which is when you and I started it. And we were doing, you were kind of opening the circle then. Yes. And then when we got into Aries, we got fast, we got chatty, we got whatever. And then we got into a little hassle a couple times about politics and vaccines and socialism and whatever. And he's like, not on my platform. I'm like, it's Amanda's platform. She's my boss. I'm going to be good to the extent that an Aquarius rising can be good. But then when Mars got to that point, I said, you know, Amanda, why don't we do that grounding thing we used to do?
Yes.
She's like, okay. And so then this time she said, well, you do some too. So then I started doing my thing and she's like, oh, I like what you do. You
know? I like what she does.
And so I was like, yeah, kind of shy about it, but I do it before I do a reading with people.
Yeah.
I always open in my own space. You know, I'm going to do a reading and I say to Archangel, I mainly work with Archangel Raphael. I say, Raphael, you know, let me speak to the person's heart, because Raphael is a heart. He's the angel for counselors. So in my job as a counselor, you know, talking to him and saying, help me. So sometimes I'm in a reading and I get to a part where I don't know what to do. And I go, Raphael, in my head, I don't say it out loud. And, you know, he shows up.
You also now call in the directions, which I love. But, and what I'm also hearing from you, and I want to know if this is true for everybody, is that you are actually in embracing these Aquarius houses that you have, you're actually showing up even more authentically who you actually are, because you said you're a little bit shy about this part of you. So is that an invitation for everybody? Because I know Aquarius is authenticity, right? So is this a time where that true authentic part of us is being elicited? And that would be a Saturnian, that would be part of our Saturnian work to show up as authentically as possible.
Yes, because the Capricorn Saturn is, what have you amounted to? And the Aquarian Saturn is, what have you done for the group?
Mm.
So it's two jobs. We're not just here to do our own thing. We're here to work for the greater good of the collective. Aquarian is the greater good of the collective, right? So we want to blend those. So Saturn says, yeah, so what'd you build? What'd you amount to? Because Capricorn is, what'd you do? And then Aquarius is, and what'd you do for the least of your brothers? What'd you do for the other? What did you do for your community? What did you do for the tribe? Whatsoever you do to the least of your brothers, that you do to me. Right? So that's Saturn's two mandates for us. And so we're going into the Aquarius section where we say, what have we done for the least of our brothers? What have we done for our community? And think about it, in the growing season, Capricorn, you build your, you keep your farm tools, shop. But then we get to Aquarius, we go help our neighbors raise their barn, do the quilting, you know, the stuff we do indoors that's community-based. It's our community. It's our astrology hug group here. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay.
And when you asked me back in March, I knew Saturn was going into Aquarius, so I was going to have to work more with groups. And I'm like, all right, I'll go work with Amanda's group. You know, it's astrology group. It's, you know, so, and that was April through June. Then we got a little off track with Mars and Aries because we were having our little ch-ch-ch-ch-ch's. And then we went, all right, let's focus on our higher purpose. It's Amanda's. Because it's your practice, your business. So I'm coming in, like, I need to be respectful of what you want to do with your tribe.
Right. Well, it's interesting to be in this role because I will hear the rumblings from all of you, the community. And so there's certain things where I could see that certain people were feeling not included, you know, and turned off from their love of astrology because they couldn't engage in the part of the conversation that wasn't as astrological. And so for Astrology Hub, we're about providing a place for people to explore their love and their passion of astrology, of the sky, of their connection, of their purpose, of their path. And so it was just sort of getting a little off track. And that's okay.
And also that's, you know, for you saying that to me, me going, right, not my job to say you have to be like me, my job to say you have to be the best you can be.
Exactly.
And in that capacity, teaching astrology as a pure thing, like right. I have my belief systems around it, but it's everybody uses it their own way, hopefully for their greater good, you know? Right. And I also say to people, it's a sacred art. Don't use it for bad shit because you don't want to go there with astrology.
Yes. Well, and in my family, I had an immediate example of what was happening because I have a father who is very much on the left side, very Democrat. And this is the political part of what was happening. And then I have other family members who are on the other side of that perspective. And I love them all. And I want them all to feel welcome at Astrology Hub. Right. So it was like, woo, like, but they wouldn't because what's happening. So, and it's, there's also this dance, this is the Gemini moon part of like, but it has to be relevant we can't shy away from sensitive topics either. So it's been this really amazing dance. And what I've loved to watch about you is that it has just been able to come into a higher energy. And so then we can have those conversations and we can keep them astrological and then people can take the information and do what they want with it,
right?
You know, and apply it to their circumstances and apply it to their life, apply it to their path. So we have a lot of Saturn stuff coming.
I think that's the most important part is like, you know, and some people go, well, you include world events. I'm like, well, that's where astrology started. And really the most important thing for any listener is the world event you tune into is somehow touching your chart. And more importantly, it's trying to teach you something, right? And so, you know, releasing something that wasn't authorized, that's one part. Releasing something because you had it, that's, you know, like there's a whole host of questions, but the whole idea is releasing things, Saturn Aquarius. So, you know, so we have to kind of, then we look at it from our own view. And I know when I read a client's chart, I look at their view and how my chart lays into their chart so that I can understand what their view is. So I go there, you know, I try and meet them at their view rather than saying my view needs to be imposed. Mm-hmm. But then in my own land, I have my own view. Right. So it's very interesting. And any good therapist will say that to you. They have to meet you where you are. We always meet people where they are. And then, you know, I'm Aquarius, so I tend to be a little bossy too. So it's also, but you're Aquarius rising and you're just as bossy as I am. So it's good. And I go, and she's my boss. So behave yourself, Anne.
Oh, goodness.
No, it's good. Aquarius rising is very clear. When it's clear, it is crystal clear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we have everything answering to Saturn. So how that's showing up for us is going to depend on the house that Aquarius.
Well, it's going to happen in the Aquarius house, but you're going to look at your natal Saturn by sign and placement because that's where Saturn wants you to learn the lesson.
Okay, so natal placement of Saturn by sign and house, and then the Aquarius part of our chart
is where he is now.
Is where he is now. So how does that dance together?
Well, what Saturn says is, okay, what's your Saturn? What's your purpose? Why are you here? My Saturn's in Scorpio in the eighth house. So Scorpio is astrology. Before it was accounting systems. It was, you know, keeping track of who had kidnap and ransom insurance. Like if they got kidnapped in a foreign country, it had to be quiet because if you told, the policy wouldn't pay off. And so like keeping secrets, Saturn in Scorpio. But it's in my 12th house now. So it's saying, okay, what's your service to your spiritual path through the vehicle of astrology, through the vehicle of Scorpio, through the vehicle of eighth house issues. So I have to look at eighth house stories and then come back to my 12th house and now work with it. So what he does is he does his 29-year dance around your chart. He does the opening square when you're seven, which says, you know, you become conscious, you go to school, you learn there's something other than your home. When you're 14 and a half, you kind of look at school and go, you go off with your friends. or you, in the old days, you were apprenticed at 14 and a half for 7 years to learn a trade. 22, you finish your education, your training, and you go out into the wider world. You leave your peer group and you go into the wilder world, and then you have your Saturn return at 29, and then repeat again for 29 years, and then repeat again. You know, so at each 7 year increment, Saturn says to you, okay, so what have you learned? Now, this particular time, we had Saturn and Pluto together. So they didn't just say, what did you learn? They said, go back to 82 and look at all the stuff you've done since then and figure that out. You know, it, so there's sometimes they're journeying together like they were this year, where they kind of blew everything up. But they blew up our lives to give us a new life. Because they're saying, we have to get you out of this earth realm and take you into your visual, your spiritual, your community. You know, and just, you know, global warming, we got to take care of where we live. You know, mm-hmm. it's an interesting shift, because we're shifting from 200 years of these planets being in Earth to an air time, which is more about what our community work, our group work is, our collective. And we're aware of the collective. We're aware of the world now in ways we maybe weren't before.
Okay, so we have all this.
You'll always look at natal Saturn. And then Capricorn houses Aquarius houses, because that's where he wants to act. But in particular, right now, he's going through the Aquarius house. So he's going to spend 2 years there getting us trained till spring of 23, saying, what's your greater good? And of course, the Aquarius is, what are your hopes and dreams? That's just the general Aquarian energy. What's your hopes and dreams? What's your collective work? What's your community work? What's your bigger purpose? For the, what are, you know, not just you, Capricorn you, right. It's Aquarian you, community part. Yeah. So it's big. And he, every planet in the chart is asking, going to Saturn, is this what I'm supposed to do? And he's like, yes. Or he's like, no, I thought we talked about that. You know, you want to kind of, if he goes, didn't we talk about this before? And you're like, we did Saturn, but you know, you go, okay, I know. Just calm down. Just go and do it. Baby steps. Doesn't have to be big steps, but baby steps.
And in the voice, I love when you do the acting out. You know,
how to say this. I like to think of them as people in our chart, right?
It's so helpful. But it can show up as circumstances in our life, right? Or it can show up, like sometimes it's the inner voice that you just sort of know, like you know when you're off or you know when you're on. But then it also can be circumstances that come into our life, things that might blow up or, you know, different content that's just showing you, like, you know, fine tune here, get back on track here, be authentic here, right? And it's this constant refinement. That's what, when you said Saturn doesn't really reward you, but there is this sense of like, okay, I'm on track. That's right. That's the right way for me in this situation.
And I find it helpful, you know, because I have a lot of trouble making decisions because I have a moon in Pisces in my first house. So I had a therapist at one point say to me, well, what's your policy on that? My policy. She goes, well, what's your policy? Which externalizes it. And I go, well, my policy on that is this.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, okay. And then, and usually when you say to someone, well, my policy is this, they go, oh, okay. They don't think to go, well, it's your business, you can change your policy. But, you know, yes. But Saturn is policies. You know, Saturn is, these are the guidelines. These are the structures we follow here. Why my policy on this is this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that can be your set of values, your principles, your true north or your guiding light, however you want to say it. But I love that so much. So what's your, and that, what's your policy on that? Doesn't necessarily mean that you have a business that you're creating policy around. It can be just your personal policy. My policy on this type of situation is, I don't do it, or this does work for me, and here's how it could work for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. And would you say that the last couple years when Saturn has been in Capricorn has been when we've been getting more clear on that? And we maybe didn't call it our policy or our like guidelines, but we were getting more clear on it. And now it's a matter of enforcing those things, or do you think we're still fine tuning and refining what they actually are?
Well, when planets are at the first 3 degrees, we're still getting used to it. Mm-hmm. So we're going, you know, I'm in charge. Like, mm-hmm. If you ever played game with you got little kids, you play game with 5-year-olds and they know you don't know the rules, right? And they go, oh, yes. You don't know how to play this game?
Right.
And they go, okay, well, this is how you do it. And then they kind of change the rule and you go, I thought that was the rule. No, this is the rule now. You know, Saturn is right now 0. So he's got baby rules.
Baby rules. Okay.
Baby rules, like little kid rules. Like, okay, well, you don't know how to play this game. I'm going to, you know, I get to roll the dice twice. You know, it's like, it's understanding. We're learning now. We're learning now that we have those policies. Now, what is our, how are we going to take those out in the world and implement?
Well, one of the things with policies is you realize what's working and what's not working, and what needs to be changed a little bit based on actually implementing it in the world and seeing all the different kind of scenarios that show up. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I love this. So yeah. We all need to work on our personal policies and our value guidelines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And so we have all this Saturn energy, everything in the chart, basically answering to Saturn. What right. else is happening this week?
We have Eris stationing to go direct, and whenever she stations, she causes a lot of problems. She stations on the 10th, and she's stationing on the world point, so we're going to really see her. We're going to see her really act up. She stations on the 10th at 23:27, so she's stopping, and of course, we know she's had the square from Pluto, and the boys all squared her, you know, all the Capricorn guys squared her, but they're all gone now, and she's like, all right, I'm going to go forward now. And so that's always important when she stops, because we know the 5 days before and the 5 days after, we really feel the contention. So 5 minus 10 is the 5th. So we know we're going to be in a very contentious little time in the next couple days, next 10 days, starting tomorrow. And then Venus changes signs out of Sag into Capricorn. Mercury comes in out of bounds and he goes into Aquarius, and Mars changes into Taurus. So every, you know, the personal planets are all shifting. So it's kind of like a new season. Mercury in Aquarius is very smart. Capricorn Mercury is very, this is the way the rules work. Aquarius is more visionary and he's exalted in Aquarius. Venus is in Sag, where she's been a little party girl. Now she's going into Capricorn, so she's going to be more serious. And remember, she's answering to Saturn. And of course, Mercury in Aquarius answers to Saturn. And then Mars goes into Taurus, where he answers to Venus, who answers to Saturn. So we're going to feel the heavens get more responsibility for your actions, right? And if you remember back when you were a little kid and you were arguing with your mom, and she goes, well, you know, actions have consequences. This is when we're going to actually get that kind of conversation going with ourselves or with the people in our lives. And remember, Amanda, if something shows up in your life, it's a transit, you know, transits to planets are often people coming in to teach us something new, right? So it comes in and you go, oh, you're Saturn or you're Jupiter, or you're whoever, you're teaching me something I need to know because I didn't really think about it before. But now that I've got to think about it, I got to figure it out. So I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about money, and she's somebody I go and talk to about money. And she goes, well, Anne, you know, the whole thing is once you get the money, then you have to figure out what to do with it. You know, then you have to, you know, it never ends. There's always, you know, you kind of get to the end of that and then you go, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. Right. You know, because my dad passed and my stepmother just passed. So I got a little inheritance. Right. So I was like, I have Saturn in the 8th. I always get a little nervous about those things. But I was like, all right, you know, yeah, you're right. I got to pay a little attention, not a huge amount of money, but it's money. And I'm like, all right. And she goes, well, you know, you have to think about these things. I'm like, my 6-year-old Saturn's going, rah, rah, rah. But it's also like, all right, just, you can do this. So it's remember the universe, you know, when I did a reading one time, a long time ago, one of my first readings, I did it for one of my friends and she was having a horrible Saturn return and it got out of her thing. And I go, okay, well now Saturn's here. She goes, oh, Saturn, I thought I had the Saturn. How do you mean I have more Saturn? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, like he's still out in the sky. You know? And he is. He just moves to another house. And he goes, okay, now that you learned that, now let's go learn here. You know, he doesn't stop. He just kind of keeps going around. She's like, oh, I don't like this. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry. What can I do? He's still out there and now he's in your third house. You know, like, so we know that there's always something. You know, there's always something, right? And that whenever anybody says that, that they're talking their Saturn.
Yeah. Yes.
So yes, as he goes forward now, we're going to learn about what our structures and boundaries are with our groups, with our friends, with our tribes, with our Aquarius house, whatever it is, and figure out what we want that to look like. And then we get to build it. implement it, roll it out, create it, forward.
Yeah. Well, what I love about what you're saying too is this, again, this emphasis on the big picture, because we can't always see the big picture, but when we're taking the stance of like, okay, now what structures do I need to put in place? What boundaries, what guidelines, what policies? It will be, I feel like it'll be more clear for us to be able to answer those questions, even if we don't know what the big picture is, because it's almost like the next step is to just get clear on what your policies and your guidelines are. Just get clear on that. You don't know what you're building per se. You might have inklings of what you're building, but as we've talked about many times, 20 years ago, we could have never envisioned what we're doing now, just because none of these things.
The internet even wasn't even.
Exactly. The, exactly.
Not so, in this form, at least.
Right. So 20 years from now, we have no idea, but what your values are and what your boundaries are and what your principles are, that you can allow to be a North Star. Yep. You know, and then that, and then just keeping in mind that what you're building is building towards a big picture that you may or may not be totally privy to at this point. Mm-hmm. But trusting all these lessons that are coming in, the different things that are coming in, as I always think of Saturn as like Yoda, or you know, like the Zen master teacher who's just totally, like totally. Really mm-hmm. You can't even understand what they're saying half the time, but they're just pulling something out of you. It's yeah. like, okay, I'm pulling you to the next level. And yes, this is hard. And yes, you're tired, but you're getting refined in this process. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's what's happening for us. I get, you know, as Saturn in Capricorn, now Saturn in Aquarius, it's like a continuation of that. But like you said, now for the greater good,
yes.
for the community, for not just for us personally, but taking that personal part and applying it to mm-hmm. the community.
Yeah, and also watch what pops for you, because stuff pops. So like, yeah, I have a background in IT. So back in 99-2000, I was rolling a system for Pepsi, a computer equipment tracking system. I was in charge of half the country. And there was a rogue programmer who had a backdoor into the system, which basically meant he could go in and screw around with the data. So you'd roll the thing and you'd have run a bunch of tests and everything was fine. And then it would be screwed up after you rolled it. So I was like freaked out one day, and Kevin, my boss, said to me, well, you know, Ben has a back door to the system. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, Ben has a back door. He can just go. I mean, he's in there fucking with, excuse my French, live data, my live data. Kevin's like, yeah. I said, you know, he can't do that. And he fixed it. Right. So I said, use Kevin, you need to, because he was like another parallel. I said, you need to tell him, you know, not to do that to me again. Of course, he does it again. So I went into the boss two up, who's a nice little Virgo named Tom. And I went in and I said, you know, Ben has this back door into my system, into sets, and he just screwed up my data, and you need to shut that back door. And Tom's like, he has a back door, calls him in, yells at them. They shut the back door, right? Of course, the next week, Ben rolls another back door in. But with the invasion of our stuff, our NSA invasion, you know, the Russia sneaking in, they snuck in through a back door, right? And of course, I'm like, well, you know, they put another back door. I mean, there's a bunch more in there, people, you know this, right? So I wrote, Tom's a Facebook friend. So I wrote him and I said, I just want to thank you for your integrity. Back when you shut Ben's back door down, I was reminded of it with the NSA back door guys. So Tom, of course, he was like, I have no memory of this. And I'm like, I don't know, but I just want to thank you for your integrity, because you stood up and you said to Ben, shut the door, and he did it. And then I said to Kevin, and I know he's going to put another one in there, and tell him if he goes after my data, because Kevin was furious with me. I said, if he goes after my data, I'm going to go right in there again. And Ben never touched my data again. Of course, he screwed up the other data, but he didn't touch mine. You know, I was like, I got my accomplishment. But it pay attention to the story. So I heard backdoor. I thought I should reach out to Tom and thank him for the integrity that he showed in managing the collective of us, the group, the tribe of us, and helping me, defending me, you know, mm-hmm. stopping bad behavior, quote unquote. So, and of course for Tom, it was a tour down memory lane, because I'm sure he hadn't thought about it in 20 years. But that kind of stuff, when that gets triggered for you now, because it's Saturn in a new sign, he's going to wake up stuff and remind you of what happened before what are your choices and how do they work? And now what do you want to do about it? Right. So that's the, it's really important to watch for the memory triggers this week, next week, between now and as we start to roll into this new energy, because it's going to say, remember that? And you're going to go, I do. Did you like how it turned out? Not so much. Okay. Change your behavior. Did you like how it turned out? Yeah, actually. Well, find the person and thank them. And if they're not here on earth, just thank them in the ethers, because we're getting ready for this whole new big exciting chapter where we get to build our dreams and understand the bigger vision behind it. You know, I was like, I'm thinking about Tom when he shut down the back door for me. He was so nice, you know. but Kevin was furious with me. I'm like, I told you to tell him not to do that, and you didn't. So I took care of it. And you want to kind of watch those energies, because you're going to feel them come up. Like, I need to do something here. And that's totally appropriate.
I love this. Where do you need to shut the back door? Yeah. Like, where in your life do you actually need to do that for yourself? And you had it, someone did it for you, which is sort of this external authority thing. But now we're being asked to be our own inner authority. So there may be places where you need to shut the back door for yourself. And I always think of this as sealing up the holes in the canoe, like energetic holes in our canoe as we're paddling across the ocean is not a good thing. Where do we need to actually seal those up? And so I love that story because it's such a great example of that happening for you. But then we can apply that. How can we do that for ourselves? Okay. So in summary, did we go through all the major aspects already?
Yes. Yeah, those are the big ones. Okay. You know, because everybody's getting ready to shift and change. Now, next week, we get really going because Mars goes into Taurus and then he starts playing with people.
Okay.
But right now, he's shifting and he's wrapping up what we've been working on since July, beginning of July. And he's like, okay, that's done. Now what? What's the next thing?
Right. I've been listening to people, they're not in the astrological community, who are sensing a big energetic shift between the 6th and the 20th. And I believe that's mirrored in the astrology, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I have psychic friends who they pop the dates and it's always big aspects.
Exactly. Yeah. Same. Okay. All right. So here we go. We have a 3 to a 20, depending on
how you've done.
Okay. So depending on how you've done your Saturn, you've been doing your Saturn, been showing up for your work, et cetera. Okay. Even if it shows up as a 20, if you're in that place of, okay, I get it. I'm listening now. I see there's something here for me that I need to continue to refine.
Right.
And, you know, it could be an intense moment, but it would be an intense moment that has a long lasting benefit. Yeah. All right. So the whole sky is answering to Saturn. Yep. This is a time of big picture things coming into place. So things shifting in order to set up the big picture. This is a time of consequences of actions and behaviors. Mm-hmm. So seeing the consequences of our actions and our behaviors more clearly. I have a note, clean it up quick.
Well, you know, sometimes you want to clean it up before you get caught. Other times, you know, you gotta just kind of work with, oh, I got caught. Okay, I'm clean.
I don't even remember you saying that, but I wrote down clean it up quick.
Clean it up quick.
Do you think that you were meaning if something to deal with it quickly and like not let it linger, to just like take action? Okay. This is a time to be reflecting on our responsibility to the community and our collective. And, you know, I was listening to someone speaking and they made a really good point about how words like community or public or collective, they're like faceless. That it's hard to actually feel them. I mean, for me, when I think community, I think astrology hub and that, or my local community here on Maui. And that helps me make it less like collective or community, right? This big word that doesn't really have a face. So
Aquarius is the audience. It's the sign of the audience. So when you're on the stage looking at the audience, it's all these faces looking at you.
Yes.
But it's an anonymous thing. Aquarius is the parade. You see the parade go by, but you're the spectator. You're watching it. So we're spectators in the parade. So it's knowing how to be, you know, you applaud or you go or whatever. That's Aquarian. But it also is, you know, when I, you know, you and I are both Aquarius rising. When I turned 40, I had a birthday party. I hadn't started studying astrology yet, but I played tennis. It was a little thinner. I had my group from Fire Island to a house I rented with a bunch of people. I had my neighbors in my building because I was the president of the Tenants Association and a lot of them were friends. I had just general friends. So I had a party in Central Park with 200 people and they all were in little clumps. And somebody came over to me and said, look at all the little clumps. I said, yeah, these are all my little groups. Think of it as your groups, your yoga class,
yeah,
your neighbors, your church community, your family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are all your Aquarian clumps. And so if you know that, it helps because then those are your communities. And you can have intersectional ones, you know, where they're in, or they can be all separate little groups. But that's the idea. Yeah, it's the people you gather with, maybe a better way to say.
The people you gather with. I love this. It might be my Mars and my Saturn in Leo, but I think of them as my realms. Like, what is my realm? What is not my realm? Like, and what is, and even what can you do for global warming? That, like, to me is one of those big, like, oh my God, it's so overwhelming. But can I start a garden? Can I get better about plastic? Can I, you know, those little things that make it actually real. And I was thinking when you were talking about Aquarius, the audience, one of the ways to be able to connect with an quote unquote audience is to think of one of them and just connect to one. And that when we're doing these, I'm thinking of one of you. I'm not thinking of, oh, there's thousands of people tuning in. I'm thinking, and that helps us stay connected with our heart. So when we're thinking about community or the children or the next seven generations, it's helpful to like personalize it a little bit at least and think about one of them or a few of them that you can connect with, right?
Well, because we are storytelling critters, right? So we don't, you know, an earthquake and 20,000 people die. We go, oh, but we see the one little kid getting dug out of the house.
Right.
The workers, we cry.
And you can feel it.
And Aquarians often have an element of detachment from the group, but on a personal level, they connect very deeply to the group rather than, you know, they connect in, you know, because when it's so big, it's hard to understand it.
Yes.
But when you connect in on the individual stories, that's how we as humans relate. So that's an important that's an important way to do it. So focusing on the member in the audience who's laughing or singing or, you know, laughing outroariously or whatever. But, you know, if you've ever been on a stage and looked out at the faces looking at you, performers usually do find one or two people that they look at to send the energy out, you know.
Right. So it's everybody feels it.
Well, it's an interesting, you know, dynamic. So this, you know, helping with that, like thinking about like when you've performed in a church choir or you've been in an orchestra as a kid or you did a play, or even if you just sing and dance in your living room with your friends, that's, you know, that's an Aquarian kind of environment where you're part of a community, but you're doing something together. That's probably
if we could feel everything, it would not be a good thing. We would probably just not be able to get out of bed. So I could see it as a necessary, but then we are wanting to stay connected to our hearts and stay connected to that, you know, feeling. So as we're thinking of this big picture and community and things, how do we keep it connected to the heart, I think is a really important question. Okay. Working towards hopes and dreams. I don't know if this was just for you personally, this bringing in the spirituality, or is that an Aquarian?
That was mine. It ended in my chart. It lands in my 12th house of spirituality.
Yeah. Okay.
And everybody's going to look at what house. So I'm Aquarius rising. So I got planets in the 12th. I got planets in the first. So you do.
Me too.
So it's in your 12th house, bringing in your spiritual path as part of your service to the community here. Right. Mm-hmm. And being aware of what your community needs.
Right. Okay, so there's this thing about coming up with our policy. Again, I love this too with the connection that it has to what you said the theme was for last year, which was our inner authority. So normally we think of policies as things that are enforced on us, right? Like, oh, this was Costco's return policy, instead of what is my personal policy and what are my guidelines that I'm living my life by. So this is good. Eris is stationing direct on the 10th, and this normally stirs some things up.
Yeah, more violent shooting. She doesn't always show up nicely on the collective scale, but she's also stopping at the points that the Saturn Pluto have been on, you know, all year, squaring them. So she's been aggravating a lot of stuff. You know, she's been like the, you know, like when you wear a sneaker and you get a blister and you're kind of trying to move your foot around and you keep rubbing the point. Mm-hmm. So she's going to make a statement this week and, you know, over the next 10 days. Around, you know, I think it was, I don't remember who on your pod, you know, your 2021 thing said, you know, invite the witch to the party.
That was George Stathis. And it was invite the bad witch.
The bad witch. Yeah. Well, that's Eris. Yeah. But okay. She also, you know, the reason she's a bad witch is because she says things you don't like.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you know, she points it out and you go, I didn't really like that. And you go, I know. But I don't really care. I'm going to say it anyway. So it she's got that quality to her. That's why nobody likes to hang out with her. When you talk to someone at their, you know, look at Eris. She looks like the little circle with the Mars. Usually that's when you ran into mean girls when you were a kid growing up, or when you were, you know, you had power struggles with people that were being difficult with you, because she can show up, especially when you're young, as being ostracized by a group or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. All the personal planets are changing this week, which just brings in, I mean, different things but turbulence. A new kind of energy. Yeah.
Turbulence too. Yeah.
Okay. Again, responsibility for your actions. And then this question of now what is your structure? What is your boundaries? What are your boundaries? What do you want? Watch for memory triggers. So when you do have a memory trigger, go. So like you had that word backdoor, which brought up a memory. Do you like the way it turned out? Do you not like the way it turned out? Why? What role did you play in it? So just allowing the memory trigger to help you elicit a lesson or elicit an answer potentially to a current thing that's going on and how you should handle it or how you might best handle it.
All of our life is training program, you know, so we're in Earth school. So it's always about what were the lessons? What did you learn? Did you pass, fail? Now what? You know? So.
Yes. All right. And then where do you need to shut the back door in your life? Okay. A lot. I mean, it's kind of like it's like a Saturn kind of heavy energy, it feels.
Well, Saturn, he rules every planet in the chart is going to Saturn. Should I do this or not? You know, so he's the boss right now. He's like every, you know, because a lot of times they all just ignore him and go do their own thing. But right now they're all looking at him going, Saturn, what do you think? And he's going, this is what I think.
Right.
And then we get to decide from there what we want to do.
Very good. All right, Anne, thank you so much.
In accordance with our own chart, you know, because our chart has its own purpose and path. So,
yeah. Right. Yes. Nobody else is going to be able to tell you how to do that. Like that you are the one navigating your chart and your path. So, I mean, it's good to get input, but ultimately you are the authority on the next best step for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anne, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For all of you. We do have a free gift that I'd love to just bring your attention to. It's our 2021 guidebook. So this is taking input, insights, wisdom from about 12 different astrologers. It might be a little bit more than that. On 2021, the energies that are going to be at play this year, the significant transits and aspects, why they're significant, and then tips for working with it all. So, and it's put together in a really beautiful guidebook for you. I love my team. They're so incredible, so creative, so excellent at what they do. So it's available for you now. If you go to astrologyhub.com, just put in your name and your email address, and we will send that to you directly. So that's astrologyhub.com. Just at the very top, you can put your name and your email in and get that 2021 guidebook for you. If you are an Inner Circle member, it should be in your membership portal already. So you won't need to do that step, but go check it out. And Otherwise, we're on with our regular Cosmic Connection on Thursday. We do have another Seeds of Light episode this week. And I don't know if you know about Seeds of Light, but it's our new show for parents and children.
Oh, cool. So
applying astrology for, you know, how do you raise children using astrology as a tool? And then eventually we're going to have some content directly for the children themselves to learn astrology.
Very cool. I love it.
Really excited about.
Yeah, because I think kids should learn their charts when they're five, like math and reading. Make the world
five. So you think five is the right age to start? Because I've been having a little.
You know, teaching them how to do their own. You do it for them until then. So my friend Stacy was an Earth mom, and she had a stellium in Pisces, Scorpio, Cancer child. Kid absorbed everything. Came home, and I kept saying to Stacy, "Put her in the tub. Put her in the tub. Put her in the tub." So one day she's raging in the kitchen. And she looks at her mother and she goes, "I know, I need to take a shower." And then she stomped off into the bathroom, took a shower, and she would emerge a changed child. Yeah. So you do it for them until they're five, but then you teach them as a five, like math and reading. Okay, your Mars is in Cancer. You always feel better after a bath, right? And they go, "I do." You know? Your Mars is in Virgo. You always feel better after you clean up your toys, right? I do. Or after you pet the dog. I do. You know, like you want to
reflect. Yeah,
they get it at five, but yes. You as a parent can help them between zero and five. Yeah.
Well, and we want to be able to help you as a parent, because not every parent knows how to guide and interpret the chart so that they could be useful in that way. So we're going to be providing lots of resources for you. That feels like part of my big picture that I have no idea what it's going to look like, but it feels so, the reason why I feel like it's part of the future that I have no idea what it looks like is because of the enthusiasm I feel. Like, I just feel so excited about doing it and following the path. And so I know that that's a cue that it's the right direction.
Yes. And your Saturn is in Leo, which is the sign of love and children.
Yes.
And Jupiter and Saturn are meeting up in Aquarius, which is the sign of other people's children.
Brilliant.
So there love you that. Are. You've got
there
it.
You are. There we are. All right. So that episode.
Your chart.
Yeah. Episode's happening this week. Look out for it. It's with Felina, who is part of our Inner Circle community. And she's an incredible mom, an incredible astrologer. And we're still in the pre-series of Seeds of Light. We haven't officially kicked off the show, but we're just, we're seeding the Seeds of Light show. All right. So thanks everybody so much for being here. Thank you for being a part of this community, this realm. And I know you're a part of many other realms as well, and you have your own realms. Hopefully astrology and what we're providing here at Astrology Hub helps you in the places that you are responsible and that you're showing up. And I love hearing from you. Thank you so much for continuing to provide us feedback. And thank you, as always, for making astrology a part of your life. We'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks, everybody.